Amen. You may be seated today. Welcome to City Church. Welcome you watching online here locally and around the area and around the nation and different countries of the world. It's an honor to be here. We, you know, Summer and I are privileged and honored to be the pastors here at this great church, and it's great because I believe God's here and you're here. And I believe that the best is yet to come because God is for us, and who can be against us? Come on, one more time for this God today. Stir ourselves up. But really, today's a good day. We have an extra hour of sleep. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus and an extra hour of sleep. Praise God. And we're starting a new series entitled Twisted Scripture. Say that with me, Twisted Scripture. So all month, we're going to talk about subjects and obviously Scripture that tend to be twisted, misrepresented, misinterpreted, and then shared for people maybe to be confused or maybe to believe something that's not true. And it's my heart to encourage us and empower us every weekend that all of us, no matter where we're at in the journey of our faith, will take our next steps forward, because everyone in this room and online can take a step forward in your faith. And so I would ask you right now, if there's any resistance, you know, from whatever reason, I would ask you just to set it down. Just lay it down. If there's any distractions, I would ask you to set it aside. And let's lock in for the next few moments. And let's see what the Holy Spirit would do to us today, how he would draw us closer to the Father, how he would reveal Jesus to us, how all of us could move in our faith. And if you are not a Christ follower, that you would receive Jesus today and move forward in your faith. And so I just believe if we just lay down our resistance, set aside our distractions, God has something to say, and I'm ready to preach, and I believe God's going to speak to me today. Amen? So if you have your Bibles or your phones, please turn to John chapter 3. I'm going to read probably the most famous verse, I would say one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16. Then I'm going to read verse 17, because I'm preaching a message today on what's next. What's next? John 3:16 says, "For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son," notice, "into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Now, I'm not asking today, the title of my message of what's next, this is not asking us what's next after church, because we know it's not Chick-fil-A, because they're closed on Sunday. Come on, Jesus Chicken. I'm not talking about what's next after the election coming up on Tuesday. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about what's next as you and I take the next step in our life journey, retirement, marriage, a new career, you're buying a home, having a child, whatever that is. I'm not talking about that. I'm asking what's next after this life. What's next? Something, I believe, is awaiting us. Now, the idea of atheism, which says there is no God and there is nothing beyond what we see, is new. That's a new ideology. That's not ancient. That's totally new. Agnosticism is totally new compared to the history of the world. If you study cultures from different eras of time, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Incas, the Mayans, on and on we go, all across the world. Every people group had this sense and their own view of life after death. That's because the Bible says that he puts eternity into the heart of every man. So every man and woman intuitively know there's something more than what we see. And there's something more after this life. Now, this scripture, John 3:16, is posted in football games on signs. It's posted in a variety of places. My children, my three sons, have this verse memorized. It's a famous verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the idea of twisted scripture, in the idea of this thought of heaven or hell, is twisted over and over again in a variety of ways. We could read this verse in verse 17, and it's twisted in that maybe, you know, some people believe everyone is good to go to heaven. Some would say that a love doesn't have boundaries, and so God just, you know, whatever it is, and we're all good. Some people would take these verses and other verses and come to their conclusion that God is mad at the world. He's mad at people. He hates the workers of iniquity, and he's ready to strike down the nations just with one motion of his pinky finger. Then we have other things that say that heaven and hell are not real. A real popular one right now is that hell is not real. Others would say that heaven, like the famous movie Field of Dreams, when Kevin Costner's character is staring in front of a dead baseball player named Shoeless Joe Jackson, and he asks him, "Is this heaven?" And he says, "No, it's Iowa." We have this idea that hell is nowadays is taught in different settings that it's not real, and then we're taught that heaven is whatever you want it to be. These ideologies and more are a way that the scripture has been twisted, misrepresented, and misinterpreted. What is the Bible saying to us today? I want to preach an old-fashioned message today. Are you ready to go with me today on this online? Don't turn me off. Drink your coffee and don't tune me off. Football hasn't started yet. Praise the Lord. The Bible speaks for your notes. If you're writing notes, maybe just write this down or put this in your heart and mind. Maybe study this on your own. The Bible uses the word heaven or a translation of the word heaven 582 times. That's the Old and New Testament. In fact, the psalmist said this, "You guide me with your counsel on the earth, and afterward you lead me into a glorious destiny. Whom do I have in heaven but you? There is none on the earth that I desire beside you." In other words, that heaven is so profound and so grand. The Bible says it has streets of gold. It is a city whose builder and maker is God. Our loved ones and friends that believe in Jesus are there waiting for you and I, and they're not just biding their time waiting for us. They're in a place that has no time, and they're worshiping God around the throne with every tribe, every nation, every tongue. They're seeing angels. They're seeing Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're seeing Moses. Man, they're having the time of their life. And heaven is wonderful, but the psalmist said, out of all that, who do I have in heaven but you? Because what makes heaven heaven is Jesus. And you and I are going to come face to face with our Creator one day. You see, the question of what's next will be answered and has already been answered by all those who have already left the earth. They know. Everyone who has passed away knows the answer to this question. They have seen it and they have experienced it one way or another. Everyone alive today we'll have this question answered, because everyone on this earth, if Jesus doesn't come before, will leave this earth. And we will stand in front of God, and you and I will find out what's next. So heaven is mentioned over 500 times, 582 times, excuse me, to be exact. Hell, or a translation of the word hell, is mentioned over 220 times in the scriptures, Old and New Testament. What's interesting is that out of the 220 times, 70 of those were warnings from Jesus himself about hell. Jesus preached on hell. Did you know that Jesus preached about hell more than heaven? And did you know that Jesus preached about money more than heaven? Amen. You still with me? I love you, you love me, we're a happy family. Notice what the Bible says, though, because the idea of hell is interesting, and people have all these views of God so loving, why would he send anyone to hell? I don't believe that God would do that. If God is a just God, how does he get to decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell? I don't believe that. That's a scare tactic for people to do what the Bible says. All these different ideologies. What does the Bible say? Here's one verse that sums it up. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, this is in the middle of a parable, Jesus says, then the king will turn, the king will turn to those on the left. This is a parable about the nations being judged. And then it's a parable about doing it to the least of those around you. And he says, the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones. Notice this, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. Who is hell prepared for? Hell is prepared and was made for the devil and all of his demons that wreak havoc on humanity, that cause chaos and violence and hate and abuse and death and disease. That God sanctioned hell to be for the devil and his demons. It's my belief in Scripture that God doesn't send anyone to hell. If they go to hell, they have chosen it by rejecting the free gift of salvation in Jesus. Jesus has paved the way for people to go to heaven. Hell, if anyone goes to hell, they're trespassing on property they should not be. That is for the enemy of humanity. It is for his final judgment. He's not even there yet, by the way. It's for his final judgment. And anyone that goes there doesn't have to go there. And we know in Scripture, God wants everyone to repent. And God is a loving God. He's a good God. It's the goodness of God that draws us into life change. And so this idea, these arguments of if God is this, then why does he do this? And I don't believe in this. And I don't believe in that. No, hear me. Jesus himself preached about hell and specifically warned against it 70 times. Then even a little deeper this morning when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says he descended into hell and he preached to the spirits in the prison and led them out. Come on, Jesus is a bad mamma jamma. He's all that in a bag of chips. He lives forever today. And in all this chaos and all the fighting and the bickering about the election and COVID and the pain of racial injustice, all that's going on, and then our own personal stuff, there's a king on the throne that lives forever and ever, and he defeated our enemy on the cross and was raised from the dead, and everybody is somebody to Jesus, and everyone can go to heaven, everyone can receive God, everyone can be with him forever, everyone can live with God because he sent Jesus to die for us that we could live with him. Come on, give this Jesus great praise today. He deserves it. So what's next? What about these verses? I just want to break them down in two succinct thoughts. First, John 3:16, we see Jesus the Savior. Notice God so loved the world. That's every nation, folks. Every nation. He loves every nationality the same. God does not love America more than Canada. He does not love America more than North Korea. He does not love America more than the continent of Africa. He does not love America more than Europe. No, he loves every nationality the same. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to come. Jesus had to become man, Hebrews chapter 2, that no man could die for himself. So God sent his son to become man so that he could die for man so that man could be saved and go back to God. Jesus came and we believe and receive Jesus that we're saved. Eternal life is in Jesus. I know this is not popular. I know this is argued against and even churches now, and in education institutions, and people come against this. It's almost offensive as it's bigotry or narrow-minded, but Jesus is the way to the Father. And if I'm old-fashioned and I'm ignorant, I'll take that all day, because this sweet Jesus visited me in 1996 at a church camp halfway back when two hippies were leading worship and the Holy Spirit blew over my life. And I know he's real. I know he's real because he lives in me and he's made me what I don't deserve. How about you? Come on, take a praise break. I feel like lifting Jesus up today. You online, come on, give him a praise. You in Europe and Africa, give him a praise break. You in Bloomington with your coffee and PJs on, give him a praise break. God is worthy. Why Jesus, though? Why? Why is this the, you know, Pastor Dave, it doesn't sound fair. Why is Jesus the only way? Why do we believe this? Why does the Bible say that? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Why? Here, it's simple, and yet it's mysterious, and it's profound all at the same time. It's because Jesus is the only one that died in our place. You see, there's a condition that every human being has. It's called sin. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. All are born into sin and have fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm sure when I was born and I was hopefully a cute baby, and as I got a little older and I hit my twos, I'm sure my mom saw the sinful nature in me when all I wanted was me, 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 me. And I would not want to share. Has anyone ever had a child or a grandchild? Know what I'm talking about right now. And even, and their little cute little face and cheeks, and they're so innocent, and aren't you adorable? And you watch that adorable just act out and want their way or no way, and they don't want to share. Have you noticed the nature, even in a child? And the Bible says if a parent doesn't guide the child, they're going to cause disaster for the family. Even the wonderful children and the babies, and I have four of them, and they're lovely, and they're amazing. I have to correct and guide them. If I don't, they'll go astray. Even children reflect what the Bible says, that all of us have this condition that wanders away from God. Well, no, I'm a good person. I'm sure you are, but we have a condition. And no human being could fix their condition unless Jesus, the Son of God, came and died for our condition. He not only died for our condition, he, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, became sin. Stay with me. He became sin. He became rape. He became racism. He became murder. He became all the heinous acts that we defy, that we despise, that we look down our nose at people and say, how could they? And man, they should be this, they should be that. I can't believe it. They're disgusting. Jesus became it all. And that's why on the cross he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And so all the stuff in my life, all the stuff people know about, and all the stuff no one knows about, Jesus became it so I could be free from it and so I could be with him. This is a reason why Jesus is the way. Jesus is the mercy seat. And so Jesus became the mercy seat for God's anger to be appeased, literally. He died, and so the anger of God that was toward murder and hate and racism and idol worship, and even if you study ancient history, human sacrificing of adults and the mass sacrificing of children, God despised it. It was the god of Molech, and God cursed it, and he hated it, and he was so upset with his creation, but Jesus eased the anger and became the mercy seat. That's why all of us can come in this place and watch online. And maybe we messed up last night. Who knows? Maybe we cussed on the way to church this morning. But last week we had cuss words in church. Praise God. And the Lord still moved if you were here. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But that's why we can come in here and we can say, Jesus saved me. And the grace of God and the mercy of God comes because he took all of our stuff that anyone could be saved. Oh, the precious beauty of Jesus. I know they can't figure him out, but he's just that awesome. I know they want to debate him, but they can't stop him. I know they try to put him in a box, but he's bigger than the box. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He reaches down and he picks you up. He turns you around and puts your life on the right path. And he's a soon and coming king. Hear me. He's coming back for his people. He's not coming back for a white person. He's not coming back for a black person. He's coming back for his church. And his church is filled with white and black and Asian and Hispanic. Gloria a Dios, Jose Cristo. We're going to be with God forever. I feel it in my soul. He's coming for his people. This is why it's Jesus. He became our sin. And so his body was mangled so that our body could be healed. His head was swollen so that our thoughts could be at peace. His back was shredded so every disease could be healed. This is why this Jesus is the way to the Father. Because I'm going to be strong about this. There's no other deity that people worship that ever could brag about this. Because none of them ever did it. They were humans that had good theology or philosophy or ideology, and they got old and died. But there was a man sent from heaven. And John the Baptist said, he comes after me, but he was before me. And he has always been. And he came and he died for all of us. And this is why it sounds narrow-minded and it sounds ignorant and it sounds whatever to people. But only Jesus has died for humanity. And only Jesus has got up from the tomb. Did you know that Roman philosophers that believed in multiple pagan gods that were involved in pedophile revelry, just out of your mind, if I could show you articles about what the Romans did, you would be disgusted. And they were a part of that. And even in their journals, they wrote about this man named Jesus, who, quote unquote, they said, died for his people. Even history bears the weight that this man, Jesus, not only was on the earth, but he died on a cross. Not only the Bible, but history tells us. These historians were alive when Jesus was alive. We have their writings. Josephus, the Jewish historian, talks about this. We have articles. So Jesus not only is a biblical figure, he's a historical figure. He's God. It's almost like if you went to a doctor and the doctor said, you're sick with a disease, but I have a medicine here for you and it's free. And if you take this medicine, you'll be healed of your condition. It's free. And then we look at the doctor and say, I don't want that. I want that medicine. Well, this medicine has nothing to do with your condition and is actually going to make your condition worse. It just looks better, though. The bottle looks prettier. I want that medicine. Well, this medicine isn't even free. This medicine costs an arm and a leg. That's okay. I want what costs an arm and a leg. The bottle looks pretty, and I just want that. I don't want the free stuff. I want that. So I'm going to pay for it. I'm gonna invest my life, and I'm going to pay an arm and a leg, and it looks pretty, but I'm going to get sicker, and I'm going to get more entrapped, and I want it. And the whole time, there's this free medicine over here. If you just take it, you'll be healed. That's humanity. Jesus, nah, he was cool, but no, not Jesus. I want to worship what I want to worship. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. No, I don't believe that. My professor told me this. That book told me that. That guy on TV said this. The Bible doesn't mean that. Free medicine. Free Jesus. Take it. Receive it, your condition will be healed. I'm almost done. Not only Jesus the Savior, but notice in verse 17, Jesus came not to judge the world, but to save it. There is no judgment for now. Hear me today, clearly online in this room. There is no judgment for now. Judgment is coming, but it's not right now. Jesus has become the mercy seat, as I said, and grace and mercy is extended to me and to you, to the world. Jesus almost has paused, let's use that word for just understanding, paused the judgment of God. And the idea of God's anger, God killing people, God's, you know, they don't understand what Jesus did. That's not happening right now, folks. Jesus calmed God's anger by dying on the cross and being raised from the dead. We have this big word that makes me sound smart called dispensation. We are in this time of the church. Paul said it's the time of the Gentiles, meaning all non-Jewish people can run to the throne of God and find salvation and mercy in time of need. My dad and I had the privilege of preaching, each of us individually, in the Middle East. We each preached to 180 nations in the Middle East, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan, all of it. And we were on there for an hour, and 1,600 people received Jesus. 19,000 prayer requests came in from those countries in 1 hour. That obliterates Christian television in America. It's amazing the hunger of people. My dad preached to a village in Pakistan. He saw them sitting there listening to him. They had their garb on, and 77 received Jesus in the face of possible death. The Holy Spirit is moving around the world. So God is saving the people. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You and I have this moment to receive Jesus. No one has to go to hell. Hear me. No one has to go to hell. And the idea of God, he's mean, he's mad. No. In closing, no one has to go to hell. I read a verse to you that hell was created not for any human being. God created heaven to have with us forever, to fellowship with God. And this is our moment. Don't believe the lies, ladies and gentlemen. I love you today. And I'm not afraid of the lies that I want to unpack this month, because there's lies being told and it's not true. Well, my grandma told me that Jesus is coming back and he hasn't yet. It doesn't mean he's not. I don't know about that. No. Doesn't mean he's not. I'm going to preach on the apocalypse next year. I can't wait. We're going to talk about what's happening. He's coming back. In closing, what's the heart of God for you and for me? I think about this story and the heart of God for you and me and those watching online today, because there's some in this room and online. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've drifted from Jesus. Maybe you're racked with guilt and shame. Who knows what? Good Lord, all of us have done enough in our lifetime to have our head down the rest of our days. But the goodness of God lifts us up. My mom and dad have always modeled for me preaching. I've seen my dad preach in front of 50,000 people, 100,000 people, and he preached so hard he sweat through his clothes and he almost passed out in the heat of Africa. You know my dad. He's just, you know. And then I've seen my dad do the same to 5 people. Preach and get red-faced and sweat and, you know, give his all to 1 person, 5 people. My dad and mom were invited to a tent meeting. In other words, they have tents outside and churches gather under a tent. And they have, it's an old-fashioned thing called camp meetings or tent meetings. And my dad and mom were invited and drove over 1,000 miles, more than that, to San Antonio, Texas. And my mom and dad have never been about, you know, only preaching for big crowds. Again, they would do it, for the one. And they had a tent meeting that night, and 25 people showed up. And my dad had to gather himself, driving all that way from Indiana to San Antonio, Texas, and the area there, had to get himself gathered and preached his best, preached his heart out, and invited people to receive God, invited people to be touched by the Holy Spirit, to be healed. And the lady came up crying and worshiping God and wanting God to touch. And then this lady's husband, big burly guy, kind of a hard-looking guy, kind of mean-looking even, walks up and stands next to her, and all the 25 people start going crazy. Woo! Glory! Start shouting to God. And my dad goes up to this man and starts talking to him. He's stone cold. He's hard. The Holy Spirit begins to move on him, and this man ends up receiving Jesus. And then the tent really erupts. Because, man, this guy was named Larry, and Larry was a statue. And they believed if God saved Larry, God can save anyone. Hallelujah. You know, one of those type people. Elbow your neighbor if they're next to you right now. But anyway. And so that night, he goes home, and he calls all of his family. You see, he had years of drinking and years of abuse on his wife. He was mean to his kids. He was full of guilt, full of shame, full of anger, drinking all of his life, just racked with sin, racked with all the junk. calls his family together the very next day. They all have a cookout at their house. He apologizes to his wife in front of his kids. He apologizes to his kids. He makes amends to all of his family. They all have a great time. He talks about how he came back to God, how he received Jesus. He goes to bed and dies and goes to heaven. Now listen, what touches me about the love of God is years before, that family was full of alcoholics. His dad, Larry's brothers, all were alcoholics. They went to a bar one night playing pool, drinking together. They got into a fight. His dad didn't want to stay there longer, and so his dad walked on home. The brothers stayed and kept drinking and kept playing pool. All the brothers got in the car. Larry drove the car, and because he was drunk, didn't drive right, ended up going off the side of the road and running over his own father and killing him on the way home. And all of that pain and all of that weight was lifted because he received Jesus. And then he made his peace with his family. So that's a sad story. And I wish he had more time with his family. But then when I think about what's next, there was someone so filled with overwhelming shame that Jesus rolled it away. And then he went to sleep after he made it right with God and, of course, his family. And then he went to heaven and he sees God today. And he's living for God in the presence of God. And this is why we do what we do. Because God will go 1,000 miles just to get to your house, just to get to your son, just to get to your daughter, just to get to your husband, just to get to your wife. He'll go to your grandparents' house. He'll go to your great uncle's house. He'll save those that are far because his heart is to seek and save that which is lost. Stand to your feet if you don't mind, and you online. What's next today? What's next after this life, which the Bible says is but a vapor? Here today, gone tomorrow. What's next is a Christ-filled eternity or a Christ-less eternity? And I heard an old preacher say, I'd rather live my life by what the Bible says and die and find out the Bible was wrong versus living wrong to what the Bible says and dying and finding out the Bible was right. You got to live it. You and I have to give our heart to God and give him everything we got. Please bow your head and bow your heart. You online today, stay in this moment with us. If you would say today, Pastor Dave, I've never received Jesus in my life, and or I have received Jesus, but I'm far from God today. I feel it in my soul when I need to come back to God. You online and you in this room, you know you've never received Christ, and or in this moment you're far from him, and you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you back to him. If that's you right now in this moment, heads are bowed, hearts are bowed, raise your hand. I want to pray for you to receive Jesus today. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you today. God bless you today. Thank you. God bless you today. God bless you today. Thank you. And how many would say, you know, Pastor Dave, not only do I want to receive Jesus, but I want to live my life every day for Jesus. I want to give my life to live with eternity on my mind. That doesn't mean we don't have vacation, don't have goals, don't enjoy life. That's not what I'm saying. But you and I, you could say today, man, I am a Christ follower, but I want to live with urgency. That not only my life counts, but I want to help other people find God. I'm not going to debate Republican or Democrat. I want to help people find God. And I'm going to pray for whoever is my president, but I want to help people find God. If you say, I feel that and I want God's help today, go ahead and raise your hand to heaven. I want to pray for you all over this room. Thank you. And online. I know you're responding online. Go ahead right now and follow me and say, Lord Jesus, I'm yours. I give you my heart and I give you my soul. Take all of me. For any wrong in my life, I turn from it. I say yes to you. I give you everything. I want you. Fill me with passion to love you and to love people, to help people find you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe in this Jesus today, let's give him a great hand clap of praise today. He deserves the glory and the honor. He deserves it. He's worthy.